Hello everyone and welcome. I'm Richard from VegGrad Podcast. This is episode 122 titled Barbecuing on the Plots. And today is the 26th of June 2017. So coming up today, I've got a bit on the usual diary that I talk about, where I'll be covering, I'll talk a bit about my onion experiment I've carried out here and how I coped with the hot weather we had last. Then following on from that, I'm going to be discussing barbecuing on the plots. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that I love cooking and I love cooking outside even more. In particular with my latest addition to the plot, my smoker barbecue. So I thought I'd have a quick talk about that and, just be an interesting subject to kind of discuss, I guess. But firstly, let's talk about the latest happenings on the plot. So last week, we had some really hot weather. Well, hot for us in the UK anyway. That meant the plants were very, very thirsty, and as such, every evening on the way home from work, I stopped at the allotment and basically just watered everything. And same as when I got home, it was watering everything, just to try and keep on top of it. I didn't really have much time for weeding because, this heat, they were just so thirsty. Unfortunately, one of the water butts I had at home, that had a soaker hose attached to it, I left on overnight, unfortunately. And when I came back in the morning and realised I'd left it on, it was nearly empty. So I've wasted a bit of water there, which I'm not. With this hot weather, I was also worried about the chickens. So I froze some water. Let me rephrase that. I froze some water with some sweet corn in. And then hang that up in the coop or in the run for them in the morning. Just to let them basically peck at, get a bit of ice, cool down, as well as the corn. And that seemed to help them with the boredom and to keep them cool. And they certainly enjoyed it, I think. Now, Saturday, I headed down onto the allotment and started, as always, with the strimmer. I tidied that up no end and looked really good. I followed this up with lots and lots of weeding, which is such a constant thing at the moment. And it's. I noticed that one plant that I'm sure was a cabbage plant that had in fact grown a head of cauliflower. I'm completely confused how this happened because the label says a cabbage. I'm pretty good at labelling things. I do it as I go along, so I am utterly confused. However, I've still got a cauliflower. I'm not complaining about that because we've used that for lunch and so on. It's just confusing how that happened. I next tended to my overwintered onions, which brings me to the experiment. Now, the experiment was about comparing Wilko onion sets to onion sets bought from a traditional garden centre. These were sown in the same bed at the same time and treated the same. When I looked at the onions growing, there was very little difference in the size of onions across the two varieties. The traditional garden centre ones probably had a bit more even sizing across the lot, whereas the Wilkinson's ones did have fractionally larger or fractionally smaller onions. But overall, in terms of size, they were pretty even. The bolting, that happened across all the plants as well. So again, there's no real difference there. And both types have started to show times that they show. Let me rephrase that, sorry. Both types have started to show signs that they were ready for harvesting at the same time. Now, I've done this as an experiment, as I've heard comments from people who turn their nose up at Wilkinson's in general. And I thought it'd be interesting just to see if there's any difference. Now, in terms of pricing, both onion sets cost about the same. So really, the conclusion is there is very little difference between Wilko onion sets and traditional garden sets. However, as I paid about the same for each packet of sets, I think this year, when I plant out my overwintered ones, I may try some more expensive heat-treated sets and compare those with the Wilkos. Might be interesting. Anyway, the onions, basically, some of the stems had basically fallen over, as if they'd gone weak at the knees, is the term, and started to go brown, which is an indication they were ready. So I've harvested those up, gave them a good wash and let them dry in the sun. And now they're sitting in my potting shed, stacked up in trays for good air ventilation, drying off, ready for storage, really. Now, I noticed that the pumpkins planted in the compost heaps on my newer half of the plot had died, in hot weather. Where they were positioned, it might have got a bit hotter than over the... I don't know. It looked dry. But luckily, I had some fresh plants, and these have been replanted. And I'll keep these watered a bit. Again, plenty of water. We'll see how they do. As I said, the pumpkins in the other compost bin are actually growing extremely well. In fact, I swear they're growing by the day. So I'm not complaining. I'm still going to get pumpkins. Just probably not as many. I've harvested a few more strawberries, and I think I'm coming to the end of these. Also harvested a lot of raspberries. I think a good kilo. So pretty pleased with that. That'll keep me going. I've also harvested, and these are coming into being ready, red currants, black currants, gooseberries. Only a few of each, and they're slowly coming into their ripeness, but I'm not complaining because that's still... Sunday I had my nieces round, and we planted out a few of my spare plants in various places, make use of space, including on top of water butts, the chicken coop. The more I plant, the more I will get, is my attitude, and just trying to use up as much space as possible. I've also harvested a good lot of blueberries from at home, so pretty good going there as well. Okay, so that is the diary taken care of. So let's get on and discuss a little on barbecuing on the plots. Now, this is going to be more about the kind of the tools and skills as opposed to recipes, but I think if this is successful, I will cover a few recipes next week for Now, the last couple of weeks I've mentioned about my new smoker barbecue that I've taken down the allotment to cook while working on the plot. Last week I smoked some chicken breast, and this Saturday just gone some sirloin. And these were basically just cooking away in my smoker barbecue while I was working. And as I quite like smoked food, it seemed like a good idea. But the advantage with this barbecue is that not everything needs to be smoked. It's just something I'm experimenting with. Now, to explain, my smoker barbecue is kind of bottle-shaped with a fire pit inside on the bottom. Then about halfway up is a ledge which has a bowl that I pour water in with a grill that sits above that. And those two are intended for smoking or roasting. The water basically moist. Then at the top, there is another grill for barbecuing. Then over this, it has a dome lid which has an adjustable vent to control the heat and a thermometer in the lid. Also on the allotment, I've made a fire pit from an old washing machine drum, of which I've placed a grill over to barbecue, boil a kettle or have a pan on. It works and it's pretty good, and it's just basically, it's also a incinerator, I guess. But it works, it creates heat. it'll boil water quite happily, so I can get a cup of tea on. So it'll, if I wanted to put a pan or something on it, it'll work for that as well. Although there's no real adjustment to control the heat or anything, so it's one heat and that's it. At home, I've also got a large stone-built barbecue. The fire pit is made from an old sink and a grill hangs over the top a few inches above for cooking. Now, this barbecue was here when I bought the house and it's one of the reasons, if I'm honest, it's awesome. I love it. So that's my three barbecues, and obviously I've got indoors, I've obviously got all the normal and stuff, but and this is about outdoors, where I've also got a few gas camping stoves, which I do use on the plots, more down the allotment. If I'm at home, obviously I don't need to use external stuff so much because everything's here. But down the allotment, I do actually really enjoy cooking down the allotment. Now, tools. Oh, no, sorry, before that. For my home barbecue, I also have a pizza stone that sits on top of a grill. And if I'm cooking a pizza on there, it'll heat up the stone and give that authentic Italian kind of flair to it. Ideally, it would be covered and what have you, but that's not what I've got here. But nevertheless, a pizza stone. Now, my pizza stone was actually from a pizza oven from a customer that one of my catering colleagues. I grabbed that and I'll probably be getting more. Now, tools. Basically, all I really want is similar to what I have in the kitchen. So a decent knife is a must. Obvious uses for cutting. A spatula, turning food over, is essential. Although, for things I've recently discovered, well, I say recently, a few years ago, sausage cages and burger cages or even fish cages. And these are basically like a cooking utensil. Now, if I use a sausage one, for example, it holds, well, my one holds 5 sausages. And you place it in, close the cage around it, and it holds the sausages into this long-handled thing. Place that over the heat, and it cooks on one side. And then you turn it over and cook the other side, which saves a lot of messing about stuff. And the same with the burgers. It's a very similar thing, or even fish. I don't highly, highly recommend you get one of those, because they are awesome. And it makes life a lot easier. Spoons are obviously quite a good idea as well, especially if you're going to use a pan, which I've got some old pans down the allotment that I can use for that sort of thing as well. A table can actually be handy just for placing things for cooking and just to kind of free up a bit of space, make life easier for myself when I'm cooking and have everything to hand. Other things could include skewers, although if I like to use rosemary sprigs for skewers, but I'll discuss that next week anyway. I also like to have about 3 of each utensil, and the reason for that is that I would use one for dealing with raw foods and placing, second set to use while cooking, and a third set to use once cooked. Now, with like the sausage cage I talked about, that's not really an option, but more the spatulas and things like that. That way there's no cross-contamination going on and everything nicely looked after. Now, on a barbecue, I prefer much to use charcoal, although there are other fuels such as wood, but you need to do quite a bit of research if wood, as things like pine or elder is quite resinous and it give a really nasty taste to the food. Charcoal, you can't go far wrong, and I prefer lumpwood charcoal over briquettes, just find it works better. I like to light the charcoal with lighting fluid and leave it to burn until the flames die down, and the charcoal is, although it's still burning or smouldering, it's white in colour. And that's when it's actually at its hottest. And it's easier to control the heat. And by the time it's reached that, it's also warmed up. The cook should be ready to cook. When it comes to cooking, my fire pit and my home barbecue, it's just a case of throwing on and grilling the food. But my smoker barbecue is basically like an oven inside, especially when you've got the lid on, because it's sealed and it kind of gets the hot air all round the food. So at the point, if I'm smoking food, at the point I'm adding the food onto the grills, I'm also adding a handful of smoker chips onto. Smoker chips come in a variety of different flavours, such as whiskey, hickory or applewood. You can buy these relatively cheaply, actually. Again, I'll go through those next week. But it'd be pretty easy to use and things, which is something I'm going to do in the future. Now, these wood chips, I like to soak in water for at least before use, so that when they go on, they smoke and don't just burn up. And you don't actually need much in the way. A handful is all it needs. And I've been learning this while developing this. So at this point, I'm cooking away. Until cooked, really. I'm keeping an eye on it, making sure everything's not burning and moving stuff, turning it around to get an even heat. What you will find with any barbecue, it takes a bit of practice to learn where hot areas are and so on and how the heat dissipates. And what I sometimes do is if something's cooking a bit quicker than the others, I'll move it over to a cooler area. So it still cooks, but just a bit slower, to try and get everything cooked at the same point. And really, you're just treating your food that you cook. If you're not sure about your cooking and you're cooking meat, then meat thermometers are a great way of telling how well, if something's cooked. You basically stick it in until it says it's cooked. But don't be afraid, although undercooked food is not good for you, I find a lot of people I talk to are afraid to cook outdoors because they're worried about undercooking food, and certainly pork, that's certainly a possibility. But I kind of believe if you can cook indoors on the oven, you can cook outdoors as well. It's just a case of practicing, learning, checking, double checking. And as I said, when you practice, you learn how to control your heat on your barbecue and where your hot spots and your cooler spots are on the barbecue. That's not unlike your home oven. So if you can cook at home on your oven, you can cook outside. So don't be afraid. Now, I try and discuss what I do. So at this point, I'm just pleading with you to not be afraid, just practice. And if you are cooking something like chicken and you're just in the practice stage, then check it. If it needs a bit longer, cook it. That being said, I find most barbecues I've gone to where people aren't so sure, they tend to ruin food by overcooking it. Sure, the burnt edges and everything is part of it, but when it's a nice steak on a barbecue is lovely when it's cooked right. When it goes grey and overcooked, it just loses its flavour. Of course, hygiene and keeping things clean is also very, very important. So whenever I'm cooking, I like to have a bowl of washing up water so I can wash everything, including my hands, particularly after dealing with spray disinfectant and things like that are also quite good to have. But it's easy to do. Even at home, I'll have a washing up bowl out by the barbecue. Once I'm done with it, it'll go straight in there. Or even if I'm going to use it again, I'll give it a quick wash, quick dry, on to the next thing. So most importantly now, don't be afraid to experiment and practice. Barbecues don't have to be all meat. Veggies actually barbecue really well, as do herbs. And herb rubs on top of meat is also really good, which is why I'm discussing this week and next week a few recipes, including herb rubs. But if anybody out there wants to share a few recipes from barbecue or cooking outside, please get in touch and I'll discuss it on the show. Now, in the future, I've got plans to expand on my outdoor cooking gear, oven, so this subject will be returned to more in future years and future episodes. It's something that I'm quite passionate about and I really love it. Now, I've added links for various pieces of kit to the blog page for this show to shop around. I've included on there the Weber kettle grill, which is an awesome barbecue and quite highly recommended and well known. And a barbecue that I really like the look of, that does kind of, it can be used for grilling, oven baking, smoking, all in one. And it's pretty portable. And also a few utensils and things like that. So please check that out at the veggiegrowpodcast.co.uk. So that's it really this week. Please do try cooking outside. I love it and my mouth waters just thinking about it. Don't be afraid, as I said, give it a try. And I'll speak to you again next time where I'll discuss a few barbecue.